Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. You've already prayed. The presence of God is here. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll begin there today. I'm going to share just a few minutes with you on a lesson we're going to call the blessing of the sixth day. Say the blessing of the sixth day. And you'll see what that word, that term means here in a little bit. But first of all, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Can you say amen to God's word today? Amen. Now, this is a time of confusion we're living in. Major confusion all around us in our society. People are confused about everything from their spirituality. They're confused about marriage, about family. But the most concerning confusion that I see is folks are confused about themselves, about who they are, what their purpose is, what their role is, why they were born. Confusion is rampant in our society today. And this confusion we see in people and ourselves sometimes, it's not always evident on the surface. Like too many people, there's a veneer, there's an outward appearance of stability and normalcy, but below the surface, there's just confusion and lack of substance and a troubled heart. And that we have this ability as humans to put a happy face on. You know, we can dress it up and go out and folk think we're just fine. And we even tell folk, we ask, how are you? I'm great. I'm blessed. And inside you're all tore up. Because in another level, we know if we reveal to some people that we're not doing so well, that'll be on Facebook, it'll be on Twitter, the whole world's going to know. Folk will talk about you, run you down. So we almost train each other to lie about how we are. But I encourage you, among folk you know and love, tell them the truth. Amen. If you're hurting, say so. Get some help. But this veneer I'm talking about here is on the surface. You ever seen some furniture and thought, that's some nice furniture there. That's a nice table. You look at it from a distance and look up close. That's a nice looking piece of furniture. And you think that's a well-built, solid wood piece of furniture. But many times it may look nice. But what you're looking at really is a veneer. It's a thin layer of fine wood on top of that furniture. But underneath it, it's glued down to plain old particle board. Okay, just old particle board. And so that veneer is a thin layer. And it masks and it hides the true nature of the quality of that piece of furniture. Now, sometimes, you know, what looks good isn't always as good as you might think it is. And that, you know what, sometimes we have a veneer, but below there's something different going on. Confusion. And I want to encourage us today that we can live above the superficial forces that want to make us pretend and put faces on. You know, we can have substance beneath the surface. Listen, y'all, my grandmother, remember, she had this big house and full of furniture. And when she'd have to move, it was, you know, a lot of heavy things to move around. But I remember she had some of the best furniture. I know because I kept looking at it year after year, decade after decade, the same furniture moving. So we know it was real wood through and through. Because if you dinged it, if you scratched it, just sand it down, rub it out, refinish it. But veneer is so thin. If you crack veneer, if you chip veneer, you're going to see something underneath that doesn't look like wood at all. My point is this. We are living in this society where the veneer has the illusion of stability. But in fact, people are quite troubled today. Listen, y'all, without Christ, real substance is an illusion. With Christ, trusting in the veneer is not necessary. Yes, we should always present well, but it's good to present well, but also behind what we see, what there is behind the veneer is something real. The word sincere means this. The word sincere means to be in reality what one appears to be. To be in reality what one appears to be. So the veneer of fine wood is not just a thin layer, but there is quality in us all the way to the core. Amen, church? Amen. And this is what I respect and thank God about Mother English. As her son said, no one is perfect. Children see flaws in parents more than anybody else. And yet, there's something more than the veneer we may criticize. There's something beneath. There's a heart. There's a passion. There's substance that speaks to the grace of God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I like what Paul said. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We need the blessing of the Lord. Say amen to that. Amen. Need the blessing of God. Because the blessing of God is never just surface. It's always through and through to the core of the heart. And he said that this blessing comes from the heavenly places. Well, thank God, because what I see around me today is just confusion and craziness and madness. I mean, I was watching news reports of the bombings you heard about and people saying all kind of things. And I thought about last night they captured that second bomber. Thank God for that. They captured him. 19-year-old young man. He and his 26-year-old brother set off two bombs on last Monday, killing and maiming people. And they possess many other weapons and makeshift bombs. Craziness, madness. But then I listened to the mother and to the father and to friends. And like everyone seemed to be saying, these were really good guys. These were normal guys. Mother said, my son would never do that. Daddy said, they're trying to frame him up. They were excellent students. They were athletes. They wore baseball caps. And, you know, they didn't look like typical classical terrorists in the Al-Qaeda sense. But listen, y'all, they were not normal. What we were looking at was a veneer. All that niceness was just on the surface. Because below was something very different. They showed a thin veneer of normalcy, but yet below that was something very troubling and dangerous. And in fact, they turned out to be murderers and terrorists. Now, surely, no one grows up planning on doing things like that. And people change. And the people, even when they present a veneer of one type, they can have a whole other thing going on the inside. That's human nature. And I raise that point to you to make the point to us all that it's not enough to trust in a veneer. It's not enough for us just to believe that the way we present and talk and speak is enough. We have to have Jesus and the blessing of God all the way down to our core. And thank God that few people, and definitely not black folks, are going to grow up to be bombers and terrorists. Now, we got a lot of problems in the black community, but one of them is not terrorism. Or we got issues, major stuff. In fact, one report said it was a dark-skinned guy. I'm like, no, it's not a dark-skinned guy. I'm not trying to make light of it, but we all got issues below the surface. But here's the truth of it. Here's the sobering truth. Even so-called good people, like many of us in here, if we reject Jesus and live in sin and die without Jesus and trust in the veneer, we go into the same hell as Bin Laden. That's a hard truth. So don't point the finger, because three are pointing back. Let's recognize we all have to be mindful that the blessing of God is for us, that God designed us to serve him. He designed us to live for him. Let's look below the surface veneer and let's see what God has to say. Now, look at Genesis chapter 1. I'll read it to you. Let's talk about the sixth day, the blessing of the sixth day. You'll get this here. We'll make this clear. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, Let us make man, that's you, that's me. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, over all the creeping things upon the earth. And God made man in his own image. Whose image? God's image. He created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over all the earth. Verse 29. And then God said, I've given you every green, every herb that yields seed on the face of the earth. It shall be food for you. And then verse 31 says, and God saw everything he had made. He saw everything he had made. Everything, including man, mankind. And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God created man on the sixth day. And notice this, that when he did the creation act, we can see in the text the purpose, the beneath the surface qualities God's looking for from all of us. We can see that he said, you're made in my image, not the image of other religions or other philosophies or stuff you may like, things you may admire, sports teams and all that. You're not made in the image of any of those people or systems or things. God said, you made it in my image. In my image. Say, God, thank you for making me in your image. And he said, it's very good. Say, I'm very good. I know it sounds. I mean, from God's point of view, say, I am very good from God's perspective. Now, some folks say, I can never say I'm good. Well, what's wrong with you? Why not? Don't brag. We're not being conceited. We're acknowledging what God has done. It's a good work. Now watch this. There are five things he said in the text here. Five points about how he made us and how we can operate below that veneer, what God looks for beneath the surface. First, he said, be fruitful. Say, be fruitful. That is, let God receive out of your life what he put in you. You know, if you're a singer, are you singing? If you're a preacher, are you preaching? If you're a teacher, are you teaching? Whatever you say your purpose is from God, you should be fruitful in that. And God will help you be fruitful. He said, multiply. Now, of course, he spoke in context, have children, and so forth. But also it speaks to, we're not designed to just do nothing and have no results. God says, multiply. What I give you, make something of it and bring me back something better. He said, fill the earth. There are many places that are void and empty. There are places in our community where children and youth are lacking direction and male role models. Fill the earth. Fill the voids. Take the emptiness away. Help people find fullness. He said, subdue. Doesn't mean beat down. It means really to overcome negative factors. Why complain when we can make a difference? Why curse the darkness? Hey, turn on the light. Tell me what you're going to do about what you complained about. What's your idea? What's your plan? See, God blessed us. The text, our first text says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And that goes back to our beginning in the heart and mind of God when he created us in the first place. And when people lack their understanding of who they are, when they're confused about who they are and trusting in a veneer, they're headed for confusion, they're headed for trouble. But I believe this, and I know that Jesus gave his life, came and lived to help all of us discover God's original plan. Also, the text said he wants to have dominion. Dominion speaks of leading. It speaks of having proper authority and proper control. You know, children should have dominion over their bedrooms and cleaning things up. Come on. That's a good lesson for your child. Bible says have dominion. What does that mean? Clean your room up. Go out, cut the grass. Remember, my sons were young, and we cut the grass. The mothers are very protective. My wife, a great mother. But as they grow up, you know, we transition guys from being protective to being just working, getting things done. And I said, one son, go out and cut the grass. And wife said, it's hot out there. I'm like, cut the grass. I don't care if it's hot. Take dominion. Subdue. Learn how that works. That's how it works. You get it done, no matter what. And see, for a lack of understanding these principles, lack of grasping God's intention for us, people are confused about who they are and listen to all the wrong sources. Then he said here, he also said that God provides. He gave them herbs for food. So in this place he made them, Garden of Eden, this environment, he gave them all these attributes, and he gave them provision and said, now, you take all this and you serve me with it. And then God sat back and said, now, this is good. This is very good. Both the people he made and the purpose he gave them, he says, this is good. And I got news for you. God's good is better than your good and my good. Come on, somebody. God's good is the best. And he said to them, and so that was the sixth day. Therefore, the blessing of the sixth day is recognizing that we don't have to trust in a veneer. We can have substance all the way down to our core. We can be clear and clearer about our purpose, our core purpose. And that will help us to develop and grow and become the type of people God has destined us to become. Let me share this with you. Think about this, how that when you operate according to design, things go well for you. For example, I've got this wrench at home. It's called a pipe wrench. It's an unusual looking thing and only has one really good purpose, that is to, you know, loosen pipe joints. And it doesn't work for much else. I've got butter knives in my kitchen. And sometimes, you know, you can't find your screwdriver, you get the butter knife. Amen. Try to turn screws with a butter knife, but what happens? Two things happen. You mess up the knife and the screw doesn't really turn. See, using the right tool for the right job, operating according to design is very important. Hear what I'm saying? And then when it comes to your heart, your mind, your life, we want to let God use us according to his purpose, his design, because that's what he said was good. It is good when we let God use us the way he planned for us to be used. You believe that? And so what's the result of using the wrong tool for the wrong job? Well, the job doesn't get done sometimes. And then the tool is ruined and damaged. Sometimes we damage ourselves. Trying to operate on the veneer and trying to be who we're not. Listen, God made you and chose you and put his blessing on you. And he doesn't want you to be like somebody else. We admire famous people. We admire people who are good and competent. But listen, y'all, I was never trying to be like Mike, even when Mike was doing great, Michael Jordan. I'm not trying to be like, you know, I want to be like Brian Hudson. I want to be all that God's called me to be. We should be all that God's called us to be. Listen, you're wasting your time and you're damaging yourself not realizing the purpose he's put in you. The Bible says this. David knew this. It says in Psalm 62 and verse 10 says, and if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. He said, sometimes we make our possessions, we think our possessions define us. Nice car, nice house, nice clothes, nice bags. But that's all a thin veneer as well. There's a story in the Bible in Luke 12 where it talks about a certain man. The Bible says, it says here, this man had a field which yielded plentifully. And he said, what should I do since I have so much? He says, I have no room to spare for my crop. He said, I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. He said to himself, so you have laid up many goods for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He trusted in the veneer of his material possessions. Let me tell you something. Having money is no sin. Amen, somebody. And being poor is no blessing. Listen, it's straight up. If you think being poor is a blessing, you have not been poor enough. Don't just exalt being poor and don't just hate on rich people. The thing is, don't make anything of a near. Whether you're poor, whether you have a lot, don't trust in and don't rely on and don't boast in a lot or a little. This man made the mistake after God blessed his fields. He had this big harvest, and he said, what shall I do? He had the opportunity to say, you know what, I want to bless some people. I'm going to feed some people. I'm going to clothe some people. I want to give God a part of this. This man said none of that. Because his veneer was, I'm successful, I got stuff, and that's enough. He went so far to say to his own soul, soul, you have many goods. He said, just relax, man. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said in verse 20, but God said, you fool. Right. Now, watch this now. The man on the surface, you would think he's rich. He's prosperous. He was. But God saw the same man and said, that's a fool right there. Not because he had stuff, but because he trusted in stuff. He says, this night your soul is required of you. He says, and what will be those things which you provide? In other words, I'm calling for your soul, not your stuff. When Mother English went home, God didn't ask her about the things she had done and how many kids she had. That's all good. Thank God for family and children and things. But God asked her for her soul. Her soul was required. The body's left behind. You follow me? But the soul goes on. God requires of all of us our soul. You can't give God a veneer when he's calling for your soul. Your soul's required of you. What shall these things be then? All the stuff you've accumulated. We're going to have a procession today across town. And going to be the limousines and my car and your cars. And it won't be a U-Haul at the end of it. With Mother Stuff in it. Won't be a U-Haul at the end of the procession with Mother Stuff in it. Because her stuff is not what God wanted. He wanted her soul, and he now has her soul. When God calls for you and God calls for me, what will you offer God? If you've lived by the veneer of how things appear and positioning and all that, that won't be enough. God says, let me bless you. Let the blessing of God and the six-day blessing reveal to you who you are, what my purpose is. So whether you have a lot or a little, you're always ready for God. Amen, amen somebody? The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Again, how do you answer God when your soul is required? The Bible says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Say new creation. Not just resurface the veneer. Not just try to do a makeover exterior, but he says, I'll make you a new creation. All things have passed away. All things become new. Now, sometimes you, when you're young in life, young in marriage, and not much money, you know, you have to kind of, you know, you buy a certain kind of furniture, you get a veneer, particle wood, and all that. And sometimes you get the sofa, you cover it up, you know, with the seat covers, and you go through that phase of it. But isn't it great the day you get to throw that stuff away? Isn't it good when the Lord blesses you to not have to resurface and try to cover the dent? We're going to throw all this stuff. We're going to not even give it away. We're going to throw it away. We want new furniture. We want a new creation. We want newness and renewal in our lives. And that's what Jesus came to give us. He says, I'll make you a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. He says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. It's all through Jesus. The renewal we need, the restoration we need, the new life that we need, the renewed life we need, doesn't come from resurfacing the veneer. It comes from changing the heart. The Bible tells us that Jesus lived a holy life. Born, we know, of a virgin. God conceived him supernaturally in Mary's womb, which meant that his blood wasn't tainted with the sin of Adam. The Bible calls him the last Adam. The Bible tells us that Jesus lived this holy life, didn't sin, blessed, healed people, fed people. Then we know that a day came when he gave his life up. Listen, nobody killed Jesus. He said, I lay my life down. Thank God he did. But in doing so, he suffered as if he had committed crimes and sins. He suffered and was beaten, hung on a cross, because that's what people deserve. We deserve that kind of punishment for our sins. But he died in our place. He took our sins in his body. He suffered like that for us, for you and for me. Then he died. He was buried, taking all that with him to the grave. But the Bible says he rose on the third day. And he rose, the Bible says, having the keys of death and hell, having authority over the forces that killed him or that made sin become a part of him. He was the perfect sacrifice. Now listen, y'all, we only need to repent of our sins and trust him. Because I promise you this, you can't save yourself. Take our veneer off, and that's all we really are. But Jesus can change who we really are. Jesus has the power and he's willing to exchange our old life for a new life. He will give us that new creation. He will cause us to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the voids, to subdue, to make a difference, to overcome negative factors. He will help us to have dominion, and he'll meet every need in your life if you just serve him. Just make the decision under his convicting power. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you. Lord, help me to acknowledge you, because this blessing of the sixth day is for everybody. The shame is this. The shame is that anybody would not serve God, would miss heaven and go to hell, because hell was designed for the devil and his angels. People don't belong there. I'm trying to tell you. People don't belong. People belong with Jesus. Where mother is, we belong with God. Where my mother is, your mother, we belong in that same place. We don't get there by trusting veneers. We get there by letting Jesus change our lives.